Hello, everybody, and welcome into this week's 30 Minutes program. This is Paul Tinkle. In our studios today is the Superintendent, Director of Schools of Weakley County, and that's Jeff Couples. And it's the first time we've really had a chance to sit down and talk since he became the superintendent. Or do they really call it Director of Schools, or what difference does it make, Jeff? But good morning, and glad we're here today.
Well, thanks for having me. We appreciate the invite for sure. Always up for talking education in Weakley County. But that's a great question. I asked myself that and even posed it to Tennessee Organization of School Superintendents now that I'm in with TOSS. And according to them, officially, we are superintendents, but Tennessee's the only one where some of the statutes say director of schools, but officially across the nation, it's still referred to as a superintendent. So Tennessee is about the only state where that term director of schools is used.
You've been on here about a half a year as the school superintendent for Weakley County, and how's it feel?
Well, I'll be 100% honest. It's busy, and it's seems like it's 24/7, 365. It's everything that Mr. Frazier said it would be. But man, I love it. I mean, it's. I think any of us, when we do a job, Paul, we want to make an impact, and education is one where that's what we're in it for. And this job has opened up more opportunities for me to do that on a wider level. So I've enjoyed the work.
A lot of people don't know you.
Sure.
You're not like a politician who would go door to door knocking on, asking them to elect you to be the superintendent. We did away with that several years ago.
Right.
And started, I think, a group of superintendents who now who are maybe more in line to be in this job as opposed to maybe some in the past, and with no negativity to those in the back. But nowadays, you can pretty much pick out what person that you want to run your school systems as the, as a chief executive officer, because that's really what you are.
Right, it is. And that's one thing, of course, I'm going through training too. And that's one of the things we talked about is we are the CEOs of education in our districts. But yeah, Paul, you're 100% right. They, looking back, there were some times in public education across Tennessee where when you had an elected superintendent and an elected board, they butted heads. And ultimately, the kids weren't benefiting and education wasn't benefiting because you had two different agendas or you had a power struggle between that. And so I think it might have been like mid-90s, early 90s, they begin to pull that and switch over to where your elected board, they get to appoint their superintendent. And in order to allow that person to operate as a CEO and not worry about the politics and just do what's best for kids rather than individual agendas. And so there, I think, honestly, I hear rumors and here and there where occasionally there's still some people in the legislature that would like to introduce a bill to go back to that. But I think what's best for kids is the way we do it now.
What do you do?
What do I do? Well, I wake up early and I think about school and I go to bed thinking about school, from A to B. Every day I'm just sitting there thinking, how do we improve Weakley County schools? And so as far as what that looks like day to day, budgeting is obviously a major factor of what I do, looking at the finances. And that's a growing skill set I've got to develop, because it's much broader than it would be working on an individual campus. But, personnel, evaluating our principals, working with them to improve, our service and what we do for kids at the campus level. Promoting our school system is a big part of it. A lot of what I've been doing this semester is working about rebranding and trying to decide on the direction of where Weakley County schools can go, and not just my direction, but bringing in people and listening to folks on what do our school systems need and what direction we need to go in. And so that's probably three big buckets, just in a nutshell, is establishing that budget, working with personnel, and then setting the direction. It's providing the vision for the school.
What does rebranding mean?
Well, in my particular case, when I first started working in Weakley County Schools, the logo we used was a lantern. And I think it was something to the effect of, lighting the path, or there was something was the tagline. And I don't know. I just never really could relate to that. And, the coach in me, it's still always alive where I want to name something, have a reason for something. I want to get behind something. And in our particular case, I wanted a logo that represent what we wanted to do. But when you talk in a much broader sense of we want to rebrand, it's really just stepping back and doing some reflecting and saying, what do we do? And so a lot of this work that we've been working with our district-wide leadership has been on what's our core values, what's our mission statement, vision statement, and we'll be we've done a lot of work in those areas, and we'll present that to the board during a planning session at the beginning of the school year, and ultimately roll that out, hopefully. But when you say rebrand, I think the good way of putting that is we're stepping back, looking at ourselves and what direction we want to go in.
If you just joined us, the superintendent of schools, the director of schools in Winkley County, Jeff Couples. Why is it that seems to be a very large number of coaches become superintendents, principals or superintendents? Why do you think that is?
Well, I think when the pressure, I guess, might be one standpoint is, you know, when you look at assessments, for example, you got TCAP, you got ELCs, end of course exams, you got ACTs. So when you look at education, you know, those are the things that matter. But when you look at coaches, I guess maybe they're a little bit more used to being in the public eye in terms of you're having to prep this team. It's going to perform publicly. You've got to prepare it. You've got to help it redesign itself year to year. And you got to lead. And teachers lead their classrooms. And I think, you know, an interesting thing I've noticed over the years is the term coach has come off the field and has rolled into the classroom to where now we hire instructional coaches. And I'm thinking even to the point in our society, people are having to hire life coaches. But, you know, the term coach goes back to originally the stage coaches is when you take somebody from A to Z. You go from one location to the other. You get them from where they are and you get them to where they want to be. And I think coaches have done that with lives of the players and student athletes that they work with, but also in the classroom. So I guess one of the biggest reasons is probably just the pressure of having to perform and deal with budgets and teams and programs and booster clubs. And it just brings in a lot of skill sets that sometimes you don't get when you're working in the classroom.
Let me get the numbers out here for just a moment. How many teachers do you have? We're talking teachers, not support staff. How many teachers do you have in Winkley County?
Well, we have our
I'm going to jump on top of it to make it even better for you.
Okay.
How many support staff members do you have? That would include bus drivers, all of these other people outside of being teachers. And I guess the other, and that includes cafeteria workers.
Right.
And then how much does it cost to take care of all of these people? So I'll let you have any part of that you want.
Well, it is. It's some big numbers. You know, we are the largest school district in Northwest region. And, you know, when you look at our numbers, we're roughly 651 and a half total employees. And out of that number, we have 381 certified staff, which means teaching license. Now, that number would include supervisors, principals. But, you know, 381 certified, that's a large number. And when it comes to cost, well, you know, right now, if you take away some of the grants that we have through Innovative School Model, which is a big one that we've got, you know, that's $5.2 million we've had over 4 years. But, you know, when you're looking at our budget, it's in, you know, 30 some odd million. When you look at that, depending on what other money you're putting in from grants, over half of that is always going to go back to salaries and benefits. So when you ask a question, you know, how much does it take? You're easily looking 15 to 20 million. And the numbers you're looking at now is, you know, when the state rolled out this new statute saying that we've got to have a starting teacher salary of $50,000 by 2026, and we were at $40,000, we were at the bottom. I mean, we were paying a minimum. And right now, you know, we gave that number, that beginning salary, a 10% raise. So right now we're at $44,000 in the current year. But we've got $6,000 more we've got to make up, and that's just for starting salary for certified folks. Well, then along the way, you've got to try to, you know, take care of your staff too, your support staff, because, you know, we're a mutual respect school district. So nobody in our district is more important than anybody else. It takes all of us to row this boat. And so as you do that, you think, well, how do we go back and take care of that other number as well? And it takes a lot, Paul, to answer your question. The number's a lot. And
so how are you going to get the other $6,000 a year for teachers?
Well, part of that, in this TISA funding that they rolled out, there is a restricted number that comes out. You know, it's a different funding model.
By the way, you used an acronym that nobody knows what you said. TISA, what is it?
Yeah, Tennessee Succeed Act, something. I don't even remember. I mean, I knew it at one time, but it's, the comment that I've heard that's almost become a punchline is when you ask, well, where's that funding? Where's this funding? Where's that come from? Because in BEP, all that was in specific lines in that budget. And now when you ask that question, you know, they'll just say, well, it's in the base. So that's almost become a punchline in terms of education. It's like, well, where's that going to get funded? And they just say it's in the base, which means, again, the number they use this year, and it's subject to change each budget year, but that base is $6,860 times your number of kids, and that's your base funding. So, you know, when you ask, well, where is that other money going to come from over the next 3 years? Well, we've got to pull that money out of base. And right now, you know, our local county commission and funding body as a district, we pay between 26 and 27% is what we're accountable for. Because the initial model in the TISA budget as it was rolled out was kind of a 70-30. Then they evaluate each school district. So, for example, Williamson County can pay way more because of the property taxes and the sales taxes in that area. So I think last number I looked at, I think they're down to like maybe 70-something percent. So, you know, they pay the majority, and I'm throwing that number out because it's been a while since I looked at it, but they pay a much larger sum of their local education than we would in Weakley County. But ultimately, it's a combination between state dollars that get restricted and then our local, you know, when we have to go in front of our school board and our funding body.
So you got 631 teachers.
651.
Excuse me, 651 and a half. How many students do you have?
Depends on what number you look at, because that changes constantly because people are so transient. But the number I'd give you this morning was 3,864, because that was the last that came out in the state spreadsheet.
Almost 3,900.
Yes, sir.
Cafeteria workers, about how many do you have feeding the kids every day?
Oh, well, you're looking at, you know, anywhere from roughly five per school. And, you got 9 to 10, so you're looking at 45 to 50 plus just in nutrition staff. And while you're talking about nutrition, I want to give a shout out to that department, particularly Ms. Trista Snyder and her team, because we announced this at our last school board meeting that was held over at Martin Primary School. And, you know, they reconfigured the way we're looking at what free reduced lunch looks like for students. And they're bringing in a Medicaid metric that they're looking at now to determine that, you know, whether a kid qualifies for full or reduced Medicaid. Mm-hmm. And then they're looking at that. Well, that allowed our numbers to move up when they started looking at that number federally. And so what that means now is well over half of our population is going to qualify for that.
Do you have a math degree? I'm not being light about it. I mean, you've really got to be sharp on numbers. I mean, you can't just sit down somebody right next to you
right.
that understands
well,
what you're talking
it is.
About.
It is a team approach. And one, I mean, you've got to get in there and do some studying. I've learned that. But you've also got to have a good team, and we have that. And Trista and her team, she triple checked the numbers, and we sit down and we start discussing it. But at the end of the day, the benefit is, and the reason I want to give them credit is their work in this department is going to allow us to go to free reduced lunch after Christmas. Not free reduced, but just free lunch after Christmas, similar to the way we were during the COVID. And so that means all our kids will eat free.
And everybody in Weakley County?
All our students, not staff, that doesn't qualify, but all our students will get to eat free. They already are breakfast, but after this new metric and us looking at it, we're going to be able to pull off where all our students can eat, you know, a meal in the cafeteria for free starting January 3rd. So, big hats off to them and the work they did. And you can't do that unless you look at the numbers. But we qualify and we feel like that's going to work out. And I'm just tickled to death for our families.
What's the average teacher in Weakley County make? Is it the number you said a moment ago?
Starting pay is $44,000. You know, I don't have that number right in front of me.
And
as
that's
far
a
as the average.
And that's a 9-month contract?
It's a 10-month contract to what's called a 200-day contract. But, you know, our average is going to creep up, you know, to 50 or over 50 by the time you bring in our veterans.
Mm-hmm. You know, we haven't taken a moment to identify the school board, but you're working with people for the very first time that are getting to know you, and you're getting to know them. And
yes,
and no sooner did you take the job that the the chairman of the school board decided to step down, and you have another board chairman that is in his place now. And of course, we're talking about Steve Vantrease, who has been on the board for a number of years and become the chairman. And then now he has stepped down, and Josh Moore is your chairman of the Weakley County Board of Education. So how are you getting along with this group?
Great. I mean, we do. We have a great board. And, you know, I go back to the interview process, and when people were asking me if I would be interested, well, the first response to that was, we've got a great board. And when I moved into the county and started working with the school system, and when I began attending school board meetings, efficient, you know, good spirit, interests of the students. I mean, all the things you look for in a board. And so, you know, fast forward a few years, when I had the opportunity to apply for this job, I thought, man, yeah, I mean, because you hear a lot of horror stories about boards
wanting to control what goes on.
They, you know, too much oversight, not enough oversight, infighting. I mean, you just, you know, when you're in education, you hear about school districts where school boards can have a negative impact, even though they're the group that is elected to oversee the school system. And in our particular case, man, we've got we just got great board members who care. And that, you know, I guess the best way to answer your question is, it was one of the key reasons I applied for the job, was to work with the board.
You know, of all of the years that I have been here, which dates back to 1981.
Right. I was six, by the way.
one of the things that I have observed is the camaraderie of the board. But here's what I do know, is that people are wanting to do certain things for their schools now.
That's correct.
And everybody has an agenda. When I say everybody, I'm using a populace and not a group of people.
Right.
But the bottom line is, there are people that are saying, we don't want to lose our school. We don't want to lose any of our schools. But that may very well, in fact, happen at some point in the career that you have right now. Or it may never happen.
Right.
And then the other part of it is, we want a stadium all our own. We're to a football field all our own. And those are the two things that I have heard for a long time. And they say the answer to all of this is consolidation, two schools in Weakley County. When people ask you about that, what do you tell them?
Well, again, I go back, because that was an interview question as well, Paul, and I'll go back to the same answer, because my position on it has not changed. And that is, if you're making decisions based on what's best for kids, and you look at that research, and these numbers are going to fluctuate depending on what, you know, data you look at. But ultimately, whether it's quantitative data or qualitative data, what the experts would say, people who are research for a living, is that kids learn best in a population of 300 to 600. Okay, so when you get into over 1,000 in a school, you lose that camaraderie, that community feeling, when you get above those numbers. And so ultimately, when you look at test scores and different things, that 300 to 600 is a popular range that you see a lot. So that being said, when you look at Weakley County schools and the way it is structured, yes, we have a countywide school district, but one of our blessings is that we still have community schools. You know, you take Greenfield, for example, you know, when I went there, one of the first things I did as a history major is I tried to research that school. Well, when you look at the establishment date, that's kind of hard to find. One, just because the records being, you know, they're old. But at the end of the day, where we landed, the best number I come up with was that school became a public school. That was the dividing line we used, was established in 1925. Now, its history goes way beyond 1925. But if you look at that, you know, we're coming up on a century school at Greenfield. And then you look over at Gleason and you walk in as a community school and you see 1926 out there on their sign. You know, it's coming up as a century school. Now, you can tell me where else you've got two century schools, you know, and the generations and legacies there. And as well as, you know, when you look at the history of Martin and Dresden, and there's, you know, in our latest financial book that just got published with our budgets, when you go to the 141 budget, which is our general budget, has pictures of all these schools. You know, they've come and gone. But when it comes to consolidation, the answer I gave that board was, statistically, we're in a good place for kids to succeed. And they and we've got open enrollment inside the school district, so they may not fit in, find their niche in one school, but they could somewhere else. And I've seen that happen. So, yeah, when it comes to consolidation, it does give us a problem, and that is, how do we get all kids across, because we live in a large county, so how do we get all those kids the same opportunities? And every time, and of course, I'm an idea person. I mean, like, I wouldn't say I'm radical, but I'd like to say that I want to look at things out of the box and you know, may not be able to say yes now, but I can say not yet. You know, like, we're going to try to find a way to get to a yes when it comes to something that's good for our kids. And the barrier that we see in all these ideas is that 15-minute triangle that's between all our schools. And so we've got to get over, how do we get them there? And then you look at them, you know, a large portion of our kids, they don't drive. They, you know, even though they're 16, they may not have a license yet for various reasons. And so we've bought vans and we're looking at some other models. And, you know, I know at one time we had a vocational building. And really, when you talk about opportunities, what you're really looking for is really in the vocational area.
Yeah, I get that. And I applaud the vocational schools that we have across the state, because there are a lot of kids, they're not going to go to college. You know, right. They may go to TCAP. Which is a great tool that we have in our backyard here. If you've just joined us, Jeff Couples, who is the director of schools, superintendent of Weakley County Schools, we're talking about Weakley County Schools. One of the things that I don't think people recognize, the powerful number of children that we have that are special needs. Sharon is where all of these school students go. These are kids who have either autism or some other issue that they're taken care of by the people in Sharon. Can you speak to that about what goes on in this school system with its special needs children?
Be glad to, Paul. And I'm going to tell you, this is we'll try not to get upset about this, because this, you know, when you bring up special needs, this gets into an area that is going to eventually come out. In this public-private voucher debate that's just come out, and with the governor's new Education Freedom Act, as it's been called. One of the things that public school does in our public systems that private schools do not do necessarily is we do educate every child, and we look out for the interests of all children, and we don't pick and choose. And honestly, again, being a history major, it took a while to get to that point, and it took IDEA and federal and state laws to make sure schools are following that. But in public schools, we do everything we can to protect and provide an education, fair education for all students. And when you look inside our particular district, it's amazing what our teachers are doing. You know, a lot of, like autism, for example, you mentioned, you know, they're on the uprise. We've seen a lot of behavior issues that are leading to just since COVID. I tell you, there's going to be a lot of books written about the effects of COVID and society, but ultimately we're already seeing some of that, and we know it hadn't peaked yet. But what we do as a district and what our teachers do is amazing when you go in. I mean, if you just take, you know, since we're in Martin at the station, if you just go over to Westview, the closest school to us, and you look at what they're doing, you know, with those kids learning how to cook and provide catering meals and T-shirts, school enterprise, teaching true job skills to students where they're marketable, you know, and they can market and advocate for themselves. It's amazing. And Miss Eva Eshery with our special ed director and her team, I mean, man, it's amazing when I hear them talk about children. I mean, there's a true passion there in what they do. And then, you know, you mentioned Sharon. What Principal Clements and her team have done at Sharon, you know, I said in a presentation a few weeks ago down there that, have you ever heard of retained primitive reflexes?
No.
Well, do some reading on that one. I hadn't either, really, until I sat down. And so these are reflexes that we should be losing during our infancy and early childhood. And what we're seeing is that they are retaining them when they come into the school setting in kindergarten or pre-K. And ultimately, there is a link now that if they have retained primitive reflexes, because simply they're not playing on a playground, you know, they're just in the house or on a screen, or, and it's a detriment to their learning based on their neural pathways. And they've dug into that research. It's so current now that education's really not even grappled with it. It's still the researchers are the one talking about it, not, but they're already looking into that and adjusting to some of that research. And I tell you an incredible story. You know, they had several kids that would come in that were nonverbal, and they've already had two to speak. And of course, that's not necessarily linked to primitive reflexes, but it's what they're doing there is amazing. And
you know, there are a lot of challenges that students have that we don't normally recognize, but I'll give you a perfect example. You had a young lady that's going to school to Sharon. She lost her leg in a horrible accident. Now she's learning how to walk again with a prosthesis. And, I mean, when you're talking about things that people don't understand or don't see, and then there are students who are in a wheelchair, and you mentioned, you know, nonverbal and those kinds of things. So I'm with you on this, and I understand special needs children probably better than a lot of people because I have that in my family.
Right.
And it's something that those educators first are some of the most incredible teachers on the planet of the earth. And I mean that.
Yeah.
Let me change back to a subject that we were talking about a moment ago. Jeff Couples is our guest. We don't have much too much time remaining, and I'll be quick about this. Do you foresee another football field for Westview High School in the future? Do you ever see that coming? Is that a county commission thing for funding? Is it the school that has to?
You know, that, Paul, I'll be 100% honest with you. That problem in and of itself hasn't landed on my desk in the last 3 months. And so really, I haven't put a whole lot of thought into that. I know my son now plays for Westview. I know he enjoys going over and playing in a college stadium and, you know, playing on the turf. You know, as I understand it, I could be wrong, but as I understand it, you know, there are some alumni who like that. I do know we pay a fee for that. But at the end of the day, you know, looking just, and this is just me talking Jeff Couples individually, not any kind of an agenda out there, is when I was coaching, our first scrimmage every year was with Coach Cody in Westview. And we always scrimmaged at 8:00 on the first Saturday that we were in pads, and just had a long lasting agreement. And we alternated. Well, the first time I came up to Westview was really the first time I'd ever pulled in behind that school and saw the property back there. And so, you know, there's a perfect place for it back there. But, you know, have I put any thought into it? I have not. You know, and I've not heard any grumblings. Now, it's not to say they're not out there, especially when you compound, you know, since 1997. I'm sure a lot of people. So I can't speak to why they didn't build a stadium initially. But that's just something I haven't put a lot of thought into as far as a new stadium.
How many new teachers will you need, do you think, in the next year because of the attrition? Do you have those educators do retire?
They do. And I tell you, and that's a scary number. You know, we've talked about some numbers this morning. The scariest one is we're talking about factors of 10 because they're retiring by, you know, an average of 3,000. There's only 300 coming out of teacher prep programs across the state. So, but we're looking, you know, we usually have about 40 new ones the last couple of years has kind of been our number. That's recruiting and retaining teachers is a priority one because everything starts with your people.
Jeff Couples is our guest today on our 30 Minutes program. This is part one of two parts. We're going to spend next week talking about some other very important things that he wants to share with you in our program, 30 Minutes. Our program each and every weekend, Saturdays at 12:30 on WCMT, Talk and News You Can Use. And it's also on stations 92.7, 96.1, 99.7, 100.5, and 103.3. Let me also remind you that you can hear this broadcast on Sunday mornings at 6:30 here on WCMT and also on Mix 101.3 WCMT. So we hope that you'll join us for our program. Mr. Jeff Couples, our guest today on this week's 30 Minutes program. Hope you folks will tune in next week for part two of our visit with the superintendent of Weakley County Schools, Jeff Couples. Until then, we'll say a very blessed new year to come, and we thank you very much for listening to our program here on WCMT and Star 95.1. Paul Tinkle, pre-recorded for 30 Minutes.